the first sum. Psalm 1. Good to see everybody here tonight. May the Lord bless each and every one of you with a prosperous and a very wonderful and happy new year. Amen. And the service will be on Wednesday, not tomorrow. Christmas Eve was last Monday Eve service. So we'll have that on Wednesday at 6 p.m. 6 p.m. Is that correct? 6 p.m.? Okay. All right. And I was just kidding about 8 o'clock tonight, getting out. You know, I'll give myself a few minutes, you know, after that or before it. Yes. Amen. All right. And I got a text from Pastor Storm this morning, and they're doing well, you know, it's good for a pastor and his wife to come apart so they don't come apart. They need to get their rest, need to get a change of pace. Jesus took his disciples, and they came apart for a while. And it was a revitalization, so to speak. And that is very good and very needed for any pastor, especially our pastor, as energetic and involved as he is. Okay, we're in Psalm 1. We're going to read the entire psalm. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Father, we do ask now that you would bless the reading of your wonderful word. And Lord, as we look into a very short view of a long future for the coming of 2019, we ask that something may be gleaned this evening from your word that would help us, equip us, and that we might be a blessing to others. And we ask this in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Now, we mentioned the title this morning, How to Have a Happy, Prosperous New Year, or a Happy, Prosperous 2019. I do not know of anything personally that the Lord would want any more for His children than our happiness. I really believe that. 2019 will prove to be a year of great opportunity for all of us and our church if we will simply obey His leading this year coming, if we'll just obey Him. Now, the gates of 2018 are closing. And man, they're closing rapidly. And a new gate is opening. The door's open. Virtually, we're at the threshold. And we need to see how we can be happy and prosperous in the year 2019. How many of you are glad when you're happy? Say amen. Amen. All right. And we're not talking about a superficial thing here. We're talking about real, genuine, deep-rooted, foundational happiness and joy. All right? So we're going to look at some things. The first point is the way to happiness. When I go to, I don't go as often as I used to a clothing store, men's clothing. That's slowing down quite a bit. The wear and tear of my clothes is slowing down, and I'm becoming a little less active than I used to be. But when I purchase a new suit, I choose a color because I would be happy with it. I really would. We choose a certain restaurant to eat at. Why? Because when we do, we're happier eating there. We sit even in a certain place in church because we're happier sitting there. Think on that. Happiness is important to each and every one of God's people. Now let's look at some things that can bring happiness. Trusting the Lord brings happiness, without a shadow of a doubt. Listen to Proverbs 16 and verse 20. And whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. The happiest day of a person's life, I hope you grab this tonight, the happiest day of a person's life is when he or she trusts Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. That's the happiest day that you will ever have. Begin 2019 right. Give your heart to Jesus if you're not saved. Be saved. Receive Christ tonight, even at the end of this service. And then something else. The first is trusting the Lord. The second is obedience. Obedience brings happiness. John chapter 13 and verse 17, Jesus said, if you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. Now, how many of you are parents? Let's see your hands. Aren't your kids the happiest when they're obeying mom and dad? They are. And aren't they unhappy? We kind of bring them to happiness when they're creating a problem or disobeying. And there's various ways of doing that, and we don't need to go into the detail. But obedience. Someone asked William Booth the secret of his great joy, and here's what he said. I never say no to the Lord. I never say no. You know, you want to be happy? Never say no to Jesus. Obey him. The second is this. The first is the way to happiness. The second is happiness comes from not following the advice of the ungodly. Would you look at verse 1 now? And notice in verse 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Now, godly living produces happiness. Literally, in verse 1 again, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Now, I want to go through a couple of things here to consider in verse 1. It says, nor standeth in the way of sinners. That could possibly mean two things. Number one, perhaps we are not to block sinners from coming to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. If our life is not right with the Lord, we can form a blockade to keep people from coming to Christ when they see our life, and it'll keep them from coming away from coming to Jesus. Now, I know those who refuse to trust Christ, and I've met them over the years, because of Christians that are inconsistent. And I mean that seriously and sincerely from my heart as a pastor since 1974. I've seen that. And your pastor has seen that. The second is this. Perhaps we are not to do or to talk or to live the way of the ungodly. Boy, when God saved us, did He not tell us to come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord? Didn't He say that? Sure He did. We are to be different. Not isolated from the world. You can't do that. But we are to be insulated. And there's a big difference. Insulated, you can function. isolated, you become handicapped. And we're more of a liability for the name of Christ than we are a joy and a comfort and a refreshing. G. Campbell Morgan said this, and I'd like to bring this out, and it is under meditating in the Word of God. Meditating in the Bible, the Word of God, brings happiness. Look at verse 2 and notice. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate. When? How often? What does that say? Day and what? And night. That's right. G. Campbell Morgan told the members his church one day in the morning service. He said the Bible could be read through in 60 hours. 60. Cover to cover. One of the members raised his hand, who was a banker. And he said, Pastor, I disagree. And he said, I think that it can be done less than that. And the pastor wisely said, the burden of proof lies with you. So, sometime later, the banker came and he said, the Bible can be read in 40 hours. And Brother Morgan smiled at this man, the banker, and he said, I wasn't talking about bankers' rates. I was talking about pulpit rate. And there is a difference, you see. But the average reader, the average child of God, the average reader can read the Bible through in 1 year by reading 15 minutes every day. Can read it in a year. You got to be consistent. You can't read here and then skip over 4 or 5 chapters and then come back over to here. You start it chronologically, you start it in order, and you read through it. So this year, 2019 coming up, we ought to set out to read God's Word all the way through. We ought to do that if you've never done that. Now, we're talking about happiness. Did you know that mankind, a person, needs 3 things to make him happy? 3 things. Number 1, we need somebody to love. Somebody to love. 1 John 4:19, we love him because he first loved us. Secondly, we need something to do. And there are the needy that we can reach out and help. There are lost souls to win. And there are burdens for us to lift and pray and be an encouragement to. The child of God who is faithful to his local church has more to do than he has time to do it. Did you hear that? More to do than we have time for. Thirdly, something to hope for. Listen to Titus 2:13. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Are you looking for Him? Are you looking, really looking for Him? He's coming soon. You can be taken by surprise, or you can be looking for His soon appearing. Looking for His soon appearing is serving Him, being involved, witnessing, helping others, and doing what you can in your local church. Christ, loved the church and gave himself for it. Happiness can be ours in 2019 if we will take the advice of the Word of God. Pardon me. Happiness is not stumbled upon blindly. It is usually found in the pathway of duty. Did you hear that? You get on the path of working and duty, and you'll find happiness. A man wrote his congressman, and here's what he asked. Where is the happiness that our Constitution guarantees? And the congressman wrote back, "The Constitution does not guarantee happiness. It guarantees only the pursuit of happiness. You must pursue it for yourself." And do you know something? If you're going to be happy, you're going to need to pursue serving the Lord, being obedient, putting these things to practice that we're speaking on this evening. The third point is the way to happiness and prosperity. Look, if you would, to verse 3, and notice the excerpt out of verse 3. "And whatsoever he doeth, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." I like that. A businessman will prosper if he will obey the first three verses of Psalm 1. And there are four simple truths from God Himself. We are not to take the advice of the ungodly. Should not. I cringe when Congress and Senate get together and they've got some real, I call charlatans, and not people that are in leadership, voted by the people, but they just forget all of that and may make their own decisions apart from what they were elected for. I'm going to apply that tonight to Christians. God saves us, and suddenly we start making decisions independent of the Lord. And we want to know why sometimes we're not happy and why we get in trouble with the Lord. Our relationship with others starts to fizzle out. We start losing the excitement and the joy we once had by being in the church services. All right? Number one, again, we're not to take the advice of the ungodly. Number two, as we heard, we are not to stand in the way of sinners. Number three, we are not to sit in the seat of the scornful. Number four, we are to delight in the law of the Lord, and in God's law we are to meditate day and night. And God has a promise in the results. It's a promise. Verse 3, look at verse 3 and notice this. "And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." There are some things when it comes to prosper, that's prosperity. How many of you want to prosper? Say amen. You sure you do. All right? So here's some things about prosperity. Let's notice a couple of examples. First of all, about Joseph. In Genesis 20 or 39 and verse 23, it says, "The Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper." How about King Uzziah in 2 Chronicles chapter 26 and verse 5? "As long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper." And then in Daniel chapter 6 and verse 28, "So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian." He prospered. Now, there are four additional suggestions concerning prosperity. Number one, might sound like an overlap a little bit from Sunday school. Number one, giving produces prosperity. Luke 6:38, "Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give in to your bosom." I think I mentioned this illustration. This happened to us up in Anchorage. Did I mention to you about Baskin-Robbins ice cream? Did we talk about that? Okay. When you go to a hand-packed ice cream place where they do that, if you're real nice to them, they'll take that and put it on the scale and they'll pack it and pack it And if you tell them that's the best job you have ever seen anybody ever do, and build them up so much, they'll probably put a pound and a quarter into a one-pound container. You ever heard of John Bunyan? We've heard him. John Bunyan, okay? John Bunyan once said this. There was a man in our town. Some folks did think him mad. The more he gave away, the more he had. Isn't that amazing? And that's the way it is for a child of God. Our prosperity in 2019 depends largely upon how we give to the Lord and give to others. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, actually from Sunday school. He that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Consider this if you would. If you want love, then what do you give? You give love. That's right. If you want understanding, then toward others, what do you give? Understanding. Right. Concern. That's understanding. If you want smiles, then what do you give? Smiles. Right. Don't look like somebody going down the road all the time in a warm summer evening and you have no windshield in the motorcycle and all you're doing is getting hit in your face with flies and mosquitoes. Don't look that way. See? Being a Christian is not picking bugs out of your teeth. It is smiling and being happy. Whatever you want, listen, whatever you want, give away. And it will return greater than when you gave it. Give, and it shall be given unto you, is what Jesus said. And then obedience to God's word brings prosperity. Listen to Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart from or out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Thirdly, of the four things, honesty. Honesty with God about our sins brings prosperity. Listen to Proverbs 28:13. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Listen, be open with Jesus. Not candid hiding it, not in the closet. You be honest about it. You confess your sin, and he's faithful and just to forgive our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Here's the Bible's promise, in fact. First John 1:19, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from how much unrighteousness? All unrighteousness. Very good. Now, concerning sin, Martin Luther, in the days of Reformation, said the following, and he was a pastor. We must keep short accounts with God. He's talking to pastors. We must keep, and fellow Christians, we must keep short accounts with God. Do you know that God knows every sin we ever commit? And if we confess our sin, what does he do? He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us, you see. So, short account, keep a short list. Ask God what there is that you should confess to him that you cannot perhaps even recall. And the more scripture that we read and the more we pray, God will reveal it and we can tell him about it, confess it, and the list will stay short. Now, the Bible's promise is to be cleansed. Here's material, number four, material prosperity. Boy, this is a scale we need to really look at. Material prosperity must not exceed spiritual prosperity. There's your scale. Well, man, I've got material prosperity, but it's exceeding spiritual prosperity. The third epistle of John, the second verse, says this: Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. So when God begins to bless a man materially, sometimes we do something that we ought not. We begin to neglect Bible reading. Boy, God's blessed me so much, and I just don't have the time I used to read and devote my time to reading the Bible. And so we neglect it. This leads to a gradual drifting away from the Lord. It's like sin cuts the mooring ropes, the docking ropes, and the ship drifts out of the dock. And we're no longer under the harbor master's leadership of our life. Now, Luke chapter 12, in verse 16 to 34, and we'll not take the time to read that, but it records the parable of what Jesus said is a rich fool. When his ground brought forth plenty, he begins to think, and here's what he thought. What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my goods. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. There's nothing wrong with having abundance or building new barns. However, the problem was recorded in verse 19. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. You know what he did? He neglected his soul. And he went to hell. And that's where he went. No two ways about it. No diversion. No sidetrack. He died and he went to hell. Now, there's a straight line to hell. And those that are not saved are already on it. That track leads straight to hell. There's no bridges. There's no sidetracks. Except one. And that's Jesus. Where will you spend eternity? This looking ahead at 2019, where are you going to go when you die? Will you go to heaven? You know, I can tell you a good way to tell if you go to heaven, if you're open for it. Let me share it with you. Have you ever been saved? Think on that question for a moment before you answer it. Don't answer it lightly. Do you know a day or a time or a place that you receive Christ? And then, if you say, and I'm not doubting you, but if you say that's happened, then can you identify with a change in your life? Your thinking? Your attitude toward others started changing. Ultimately, you follow the Lord in believers' baptism. But can you look at a day, a time, or a place that you were born again? See, I didn't talk about religion. We're not talking about that. You know, we're not talking about church. We're talking about being saved. Church doesn't save. Jesus does, but not church. And that's why it's so important that the church preaches the Word of God without apology, like Pastor Storm does. So important. So, if you died today, are you 100% sure that when you die that you go to heaven? I didn't ask if you're religious. Didn't ask if you're a Baptist. didn't ask you if you're a member of this church. Are you born again? 2019 would be so much more of a blessing, beginning the year, knowing that you've given your heart to Christ. And Jesus said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee if you'll do that. Let's bow our heads, please. Thank you, Father, for giving your Son at Calvary so we could have eternal life. Lord Jesus, you did it all. There's nothing we can do except trust and believe you and to be saved. Put our trust in you and what you did for us at Calvary when you shed your blood to pay for our sin. And Father, there are perhaps folks in this very room right now, this auditorium, that cannot look back at a day, a time, or a place, and they have never been truly born again. They've been religious. They have the right attitude toward, I want to please the Lord, and that's good. But we cannot please Him as long as there is unforgiven sin in our heart. And that sin is only forgiven and washed away through the and by the blood of Christ when we're saved. So with that done and said, I'd like to know, tonight, I'm going to pray a prayer of salvation, and I'd like to ask you, would you pray this prayer with me to be saved? This will be your day, your time, and your place. This will be your birth date spiritually, right now tonight, before 6 p.m. in the evening. So, I'm going to pray a prayer of salvation aloud. And if you want the Lord to save you, please, my dear friend, I'm going to ask you to pray quietly from your heart. And mean this with all your heart and pray. And call upon the Lord as I lead you in this sinner's prayer, this prayer to be saved. You believe the Lord, He'll save you. I promise you that. So as I pray aloud, you pray from your heart quietly to God. The prayer goes like this. Dear Lord Jesus, I realize and I know that I'm a sinner. I admit it. That's the beginning. Tell God that. That's the beginning. And now pray this. I do believe that you died for me on the cross. I believe you took my place. And right now, the only way that I know how, Lord Jesus, I'm asking you to come into my heart. I'm asking you to save me. I'm trusting you for heaven. I'm asking you to change my life. Thank you for saving my soul. And I love you. While no one's looking, please, I'm your friend. I would do anything possible that I possibly could do to help you. But if you're here tonight and you prayed that prayer while no one else is looking, would you just let me know and share that blessing with me? You're letting me know, Pastor Eccles, I prayed with you tonight and I was sincere and I asked the Lord to come in my heart and I believe He saved me. Let me know that, if you would, just by raising your hand. Is there one like it? Just raise it high quickly. Pastor, I prayed that prayer with you, and I believe God saved me tonight. All right. How many this evening, before we go to the invitation, would say by the lifting of the hand, Brother Eccles, I want the year 2019. I want the year 2019 to be a time that I'll be happy. And I want to serve Jesus during that year, this year coming. And I want to help make a difference in people's lives. Would you pray for me that God would help me to do that this year, brand new year, 2019? You're sincere and you mean that? Would you lift your hand across the building? All right. That's virtually about everybody. Father, we do ask now for the hands that have been raised, that you would equip them and bless them and help them on this new year, 2019, coming so rapidly. And we ask, Father, that you would enable them and empower them and bless them to do that. And as we go to the invitation, if there is one here that needs to come and pray, needs someone to pray with them and for them, whatever the need is, we ask that you'll give them that boldness to come forward. Perhaps someone, you've been speaking to their heart about church membership, and that perhaps they would come this evening. But we ask these things in Christ's precious name. Amen. Let's stand and let's take our